And this morning we're going to hear the Word of God proclaimed as well. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. It'll be the last few verses in chapter 2 this morning. I want to tell you, I was trying to figure out how to preach this text this morning. And I studied and I studied and I studied and I was really unsure exactly how to preach it. But as I was beginning to look at some of my commentary and try and figure out exactly what direction to go, I came across a message that Adrian Rogers preached on this exact text. Now, I don't have Adrian Rogers' text to preach this morning. This is my text out of God's Word, but I did take his sermon title, and the sermon title is Sick Dogs and Dirty Hogs. Now, that's not mine, but it was so good that I wanted to use it. Because really, as you heard Tyler come up a while ago, and he talked about those shades of gray that were mentioned, and how sometimes as our children are raised in church, that line of real Christianity is kind of skewed just a little bit. If that makes sense, what I'm talking about is they're raised, they hear all the Bible lessons, they hear the stories of the Old Testament, and the stories of Peter walking on the stormy sea, and all of these wonderful stories of Jesus as he made his way to the cross, the Garden of Gethsemane, all the way to that Lord's Supper, and then to the cross itself. And they hear these stories and it's second nature. And then sometimes they might miss it. Sometimes we, as adults being brought up in the church, we might miss it just a little bit. But you think about it just for a moment, that first time you heard Jesus Christ proclaimed, and that first time where you felt the conviction of the Spirit of God in your life, and how important that moment, how life-changing that moment was, because it's those moments where God begins the process of doing a work in your life as someone who's either going to accept him as Lord and Savior and someone who doesn't. And so as we look into the Word of God this morning, one thing I want to share with you as we talk about these sick dogs and dirty hogs is it's really referring to people, listen to me, who are counterfeit Christians. We've talked about that over the last 3 weeks. But it's people who maintain a head knowledge of Jesus Christ, but they don't have a heart knowledge. They don't have a relationship built upon the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the blood that was shed on Calvary. They don't have that relationship. And so this morning, as we talk about these sick dogs and dirty hogs, I want to tell you, I wasn't raised on a farm, but my grandfather and my grandmother, Mary Sue and Talmadge Patterson, they lived out in the country. And they had a few acres out there, and granddaddy raised hogs, and he raised chickens. That's what they did. And I would go out granddaddy's, and every afternoon when I was there, he said, take this slop to the hog pen. And I'd go out there, and I'd take this slop, and I'm thinking, and then I just take and dump it over there, and it was a big old spot right by the fence where it was dumped, and those hogs, they would just go and they would just waller in all of that slop. And you know, as you think about hogs, it doesn't make any difference if you clean them up or not. They're going to go right back to the hog pen. When they get back into the hog pen, rather, they're going to go right back to that mud. Do you know why hogs always venture back to the mud? Because that's what hogs do. Do you know why dogs always, as we look at the Word of God this morning, do you know why dogs always go back to their vomit? Excuse my language for being kind of grotesque this morning, but do you know why they do that? Because that's what dogs do. And as we look at the Word of God this morning, my prayer is that you would realize today that you are not a dog, that you are not a hog, but that you are a child of our Lord Jesus Most High. And so with that, I want to ask you to stand this morning in honor of the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 and following. Peter was talking about false prophets. He was talking about counterfeit Christians. So listen to the text this morning. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome. By him also he is brought into the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled in them and overcome. The later end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. Here it is, listen. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, this morning, we begin to pray for clarity in your word. We begin to pray that conviction would begin to take place in our hearts. Father, if there are those here this morning who might be that prodigal son that has walked away, we pray that you would help them to understand that they can turn their lives back over to you. But Father, as we study your word this morning, what we understand also is that a dog always returns to its vomit, and that a hog always returns to the mud. This is something inerrant about who they are that they can't change. Father, I pray this morning you would help us to realize the importance of change, and that you would help us to realize the importance of trusting Jesus as our Lord and Savior in order that change might take place in our lives. Blessed Lord, we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are three things that I want to submit to you this morning concerning the Word of God, and I hope you get it. I hope you see through the Scripture this morning exactly what I'm talking about as we discussed and have been discussing exactly through chapter 2, exactly who these false prophets are, exactly what these false prophets look like, but also what counterfeit believers look like. We really don't like to think about ourselves in terms of what a counterfeit believer might look like, because some of the time when we do that, our fingers point back to us on account of the way we live, on account of some of the choices that we make. And a child of God, listen, the Word of God tells us that you'll know them by their fruits. And so as you and I claim to be children of God, then we have to be fruit bearers. There's a certain way that we live our lives. There's certain words that we use, that we speak, and that when people see us in action, when they hear our words, they understand that there really has been life change. But this morning, when we look into the Word of God, we're going to talk about those that life change never happened in. We're going to talk about those that had that head knowledge of Jesus Christ, but it never penetrated the heart. Now, I just wonder this morning, how many of us in here today have had the knowledge of Jesus Christ for years and years and years, but we've never allowed the Word of God to penetrate our hearts? And so as God's word goes forth this morning, I pray that you'd begin to listen and understand what God, His word is saying, and that His Spirit would move upon your heart in such a way that you realize your need for life change. Because I'm going to tell you, that's really what a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. It's about life change. And so the first thing that I submit to you this morning as we talk about these sick dogs and dirty hogs, number one is this: they practice deception. They practice deception. How many of you love a good magic show? You enjoy that, right? It's amazing how we have these illusionists. They come up on stage. Just not long ago, we had an illusionist come up on stage. He was handcuffed. He put himself in a bag, and somehow or another, he escaped from the handcuffs and from the chains that he was in. He was shackled there, and he made his way out of the bag. And it was pretty amazing. It was pretty neat, but how in the world did he do that? How did he make his way out of this bag when he was chained and cuffed? How did that happen? There was some deception somewhere. You know that, right? He wasn't able to break the chain. He wasn't Samson. He wasn't Hercules to be able to twist the chains off, or Superman that he was able to squeeze that cuff around his wrist and break it off. That didn't happen. There was something that you and I weren't aware of. There had to have been an illusion somewhere. He either wasn't chained tightly, or there was a key hidden somewhere in the bag or on his person somewhere. Something allowed him to escape those chains. And then all of a sudden, the end of the song goes off, and he's free. He's escaped. So many times we watch these illusionists and their productions, and we see that they make something out of nothing. You ever seen them? They have this top hat, and there's nothing in it. They show you there's nothing in it. They set it down on a table, and then they reach their hand in, and they pull a rabbit out of the hat. You ever seen that? How do they do that? You and I know there's only one that can make something appear out of nothing, right? And that's God Himself. No one else can make something out of nothing. There's only one that can do that. All of us, the rest of us, if we try, we're going to fail miserably when it comes to us trying to create something out of nothing. But I enjoy a good magic trick. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? What about those that they do the disappearing acts? Don't you like that? That's pretty neat, isn't it? We see them. They do the disappearing magic acts, and some of you wish that I could make myself disappear, don't you? Let's see. Watch. I'm going to make myself disappear. I'm gone. Hold on to your hats, though, friends, because the magic is when I reappear and I startle you to death. See, there's some deception somewhere. And as we look into the Word of God, one of the things that is talked about is these individuals who were living their lives certain ways. And this is what the Word of God says as it's talking about these sick dogs and dirty hogs. It says this. It says, these are wells without water, clouds carried by tempests, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What's happened is, as we look into the Word of God, and then it goes on to say right here at the first part of verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness. So what they're doing is they're practicing deception in such a way that they are deceiving you with the words that come out of their mouths. They're deceiving the church. In Peter's day, they were deceiving the church not only with these empty words that they were speaking, but they were also deceiving the church by the way they were living their lives. And the problem wasn't that they were telling these deceptions and these lies in the church. The problem was the church was listening and drawing people away. The problem was that these individuals who really didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they just had a head knowledge, they were being swayed so easily. And it's pretty scary. And let me give you a little bit of text this morning. Chapter 2, the first part, it says this, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying, listen to me, because this is the key to all of this. The last part of verse 1 in chapter 2 says this, that they were even denying the Lord who bought them and bringing themselves into swift destruction. Did you get that? They were denying the Lord Jesus altogether. And so they didn't have that working relationship. And because they didn't have that working relationship with Jesus Christ, it was easy for them to deceive the church to begin with. There was no conviction there to hammer on their hearts. There was no conviction there to pound on their hearts. There was no conviction there to tell them when they were leading others astray that they were sinning against God. See, you and I, as Christ-following men and women, we have that spiritual smoke detector. God's Spirit dwells in us in such a mighty, powerful way that we understand when we're sinning against God. But these didn't understand that. First of all, the teachers didn't understand that because they didn't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. They had denied the Lord Jesus, the Scripture tells us. But then also, they were making their way into the church of those who wanted to have that relationship. They had this head knowledge, but that's as far as it went. And so they were easily swayed by these deceptions. They were these wells without water. And they did that with their speech. God's Word says in Micah chapter 6, verse 12, and this is God talking about the children of Israel. But listen to what he says. He says, "For her rich men are full of violence. Her inhabitants have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouths." You know, we live in a generation today where it is so commonplace for you to walk up to someone and them tell you a lie just as easily as it is for them to tell you the truth. Why do we do that, people? Why do we do that, Christ followers? Why do we do that? And then we have to maintain this lie. We have to keep it. And how far are we going to be willing to go with the deception of our tongue? And see, that's the thing about our tongue is it's wicked and it's evil. James chapter 3, verse 5, it said this, "Even so the tongue is a little member, it boasts great things." And so these people who have an understanding, have a way with words, they're able to come in and they're able to lead people astray. But understand, the only ones they're going to lead astray are the ones who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They have a head knowledge. And people have that head knowledge. My prayer is that it would work from your head to your heart today, that you begin to understand the importance of that relationship with Jesus Christ, but also their actions. What is the purpose of a well? The purpose of a well is to provide water. But if a well, when you walk up to it and you drop the bucket down and there's no splash when the bucket hits the bottom, then it's empty speech. Then it's action. Then its service is of no good. Then it really doesn't provide the way it's supposed to provide. Like a cloud in the sky that's there, especially in these deserts where the Word of God was written. They would see these big swelling clouds that have come off of the stormy sea. They've been blown over this old dry desert land, hoping they would see these clouds, hoping and praying that rain would fall. But as they began to trickle on by with the wind, no rain fell from them. And so their actions were deceptive as well. And so you have to see through the Word of God this morning that they were deceptive, that the way they lived their lives, it didn't mimic, they didn't practice a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because they didn't practice that relationship with Jesus Christ, what they did practice was deception in the church. And so that's the first thing as we talk about these sick dogs and dirty hogs. But the second thing this morning as we talk about these sick dogs and dirty hogs is that they prey on the weak. That's it. That's something that we need to understand through the Scripture this morning, is that these false teachers, they come into the churches and they prey on the weak. Exactly what are you talking about, preacher? Well, you know, we pride ourselves in being a nation that's strong. We pride ourselves in living in a country that's safe. We pride ourselves in living in a country that our military is the strongest military the world has ever seen. Let me ask you a question. What happened during 9/11 when those planes were corrupted and those planes were taken over and they were flown into the World Trade Towers? What happened? You ready for this? We let our guard down. That's what happened. We let our guard down, and so many times this is what happens. I've been a Christian for 15 years. But sometimes we let our guard down, don't we? And then I've been raised in the church all of my life. You never had your guard up. And so as we continue to look into the Word of God, these false prophets, these false teachers, they were preying on the weak. And so they attacked. They used these deceptive words. Their actions were false. And this morning I want to tell you, we got to have our guard up, don't we? For every instance in our lives, we need to have our guard up, but especially when it comes to being out in the world and us hearing how people talk deceptively and try and lead us astray from following Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're so easily swayed that you would go away and not follow Jesus, then you've got to understand that you never really had a relationship with Him to begin with. And if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter what's thrown your way. You're going to stay faithful to the one who saved you on Calvary's hill. always and forever. You're going to remain strong. You're going to stand up because your feet are planted on the firm foundation. And so there are so many in the world whose feet are in the sinking, shifting sand. But true believers, men who love Jesus, women who love Jesus, children who love Jesus. I'm talking about an agape kind of love, that sacrificial kind of love. Their feet are on the firm foundation. They're not going to be swayed. They're not going to be moved. Doesn't matter what storms this world throws their way, what storms this world throws your way, what storms Satan tries to cause to tempt you and to test you to leave Jesus Christ, you'll never stop following Him. Why? Because you have not a working knowledge of Jesus Christ, but you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we look at the Word of God, and this is what John 8, verse 34 says. It says, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you that whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." That's really ultimately what it is. See, God's Word tells us that He sets us free, right? Jesus Christ sets a captive free. But when we're a slave to something, it literally means that we're in chains, that we're in bondage to it. And when we're in bondage to something, it's very, very difficult to work our way free. It's very difficult to escape. And if we're going to escape, then someone has to give us a hand in order for us to be able to do that. Can I tell you this morning that when the captives were set free, it happened when Jesus breathed His last on that old rugged cross? It happened right then when He said, "It is finished." I'm so thankful that those were not His last words, though. Amen. I'm so thankful that He had more to say. I'm so thankful that He had more words for you and I to hear. I'm so thankful that on that third day that He rose from the grave. I'm so thankful as we draw close to Easter, we really get to expound on exactly what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. I'm so thankful. But most assuredly, I say to you that whoever commits sin is enslaved to sin. There are two instances that I want to share with you this morning when we're most vulnerable to those temptations, when we're most vulnerable to that sin that's in our life. Number one is this, when you first become a Christ follower. Do you know that there was a time in my life when I wanted to get in shape, I wanted to do well, I wanted to go lift weights, but do you know the weakest that I've ever been is just before I began to work out and exercise and try and make myself strong? That's the weakest that I've ever been, just before I decided that I wanted to do something to increase my health. Just before I decided that I wanted to do something to get my body stronger. But what happens is, if we don't maintain that level of exercise, going after and trying to build our strength, then we're going to begin to fall backwards again. And when we fall backwards again, we get weak again. And so as we look at the Word of God this morning, He said this. He says, they're speaking great swelling words of emptiness, but they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. And as you read this, you're thinking He's talking about believers. But He's not. He's talking about those who pretend to be believers. I'm going to tell you, there are many, many more scriptures in the Word of God that talk about the security of the saints than there is that talk about anyone losing their salvation. And when you read this, you've got to understand He's not talking about you losing your salvation. And then we're going to get to verses 20 and 22 through 22 in just a minute. But He's talking about those who never experienced salvation through Jesus Christ. And so it's important that you understand that He preys on the weak, but not only those who have just become, they have this head knowledge, but also when you've been away from Christ for a long time. You were saved when you were a child. And you followed Christ, and you lived for Christ, and you've not denied Christ, but you've just kind of walked away. Church wasn't important. The gathering of ourselves together wasn't important. And so you continued to sleep on Sunday mornings, or you would go out and mow the yard in the spring and summertime on Sunday mornings rather than getting up and going and worshiping a risen Lord whose name is Jesus. And when you begin to miss, it becomes easier and easier to do it. You know, You've been there one time or another in your life. I know I've been there. And it becomes easy. You know what? I think this morning I'll just wash the car. You know, this morning I think we'll go out and plant some flowers. You know, this morning you need to get up and get in the house of God so that you can experience the Word of God. That's what we need to do. And so you have to see through the Word of God that these teachers, they prey on the weak. It says that they allure them through the lust of the flesh. That's the first thing, the lust of the flesh. And the lusts are desires that are forbidden. That's what a lust is. It's a forbidden desire. Why is it forbidden? Because it causes you to sin against God. It's forbidden. And so that's what a lust is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We read that in Genesis chapter 3. These lusts, and we're so tempted to be led astray. Sometimes even strong Christ followers are tempted to be led astray. But we've got to maintain that working relationship, that everyday relationship. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says this, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." Let me tell you something. The devil has tools in his toolbox to use on you specifically. Christians, Christ followers that have been around for eons. They're not new, and I'm going to tell you, he's perfected his craft. And he can take those desires that you have in the flesh, he can take those desires that you have in your mind, and he knows how to pinpoint your weak spot. He knows how to do that. He knows how to take your mind and to manipulate you and to deceive you in such a way that you're enticed to follow the desires of your heart. That's what James said right here. He said, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And so you have to see that these lusts of the flesh, it's when Satan is pinpointing you as a Christ follower. He's pinpointing you, and he's throwing those fiery darts. I'm going to tell you, you walk away from the devil, and don't think he's not coming after you with those fiery darts from the pits of hell. He is. That's why Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And when you put on the whole armor of God day in and day out, your flank is covered as well. You have to wake up in the morning. You've got to say, today, Lord, I'm living for you. Today, Lord, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Today, Lord, I'm putting on. You have to shod your feet with the gospel. You have to prepare every single day, because especially you as Christians, the devil sees you going away from him, and he's wanting to draw you back. And I'm telling you, if he hits you, there's a string right on the end of this arrow so he can draw you to him. You see that, don't you? You've lived that sometimes in your life. And that's the thing. You and I can't live that way. And so not only were these lusts of the flesh, but also there were these false promises. It says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him who also is brought into bondage. These promises they make. Promises for freedom. You don't have to worry about living for Jesus. There's so many other ways. It's so much simpler for you to get to heaven. You don't have to worry about thinking that Jesus died. There's multitude of ways. You don't have to believe in just one. That's the way of the devil, friends. He wants you to believe that there are many ways to salvation. But my Bible says, the Word of God says, that it's all about the blood. That it's all about Jesus. That it's all about his willingness to suffer for you. That it's all about a choice he made when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, literally sweating drops of blood because he was worried about your salvation. Those who don't know him as Lord and Savior. And so this morning we come to our last point, and that's this. As we talk about these dirty, what are they? The sick dogs and dirty hogs. Listen, They pave the way to destruction. They pave the way to destruction. So now we're going to talk about this lesson in security or believer or make-believer. You know, when I was a child, I used to really enjoy playing make-believe. I'd be a cops and robbers sometimes. I always wanted to be the cop, but most of the time I was the robber. Sometimes I wanted to be a cowboy and Indian. I always wanted to be a cowboy, but because I was faster than everybody else, they made me be the Indian. I could get away from them that way, see? And so I remember these times growing up. You remember playing make-believe? Some of you still have that friend that no one else can see. I do too. His name is Jesus. You know it, right? That's the thing. I talk to the friend that I can't see with my eyes, but I can feel him with my heart every single day. Don't you? We're not make-believing, though, are we? No, we're experiencing the Spirit of God as He dwells inside of us. And so Peter is warning about the presence of people who claim to be followers of Christ Jesus, but they're not true Christians. They're make-believe Christians. And here's what the text says, and beginning in verse 20. It says, "For if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through..." Listen to these words. If they escape... After they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about some Greek words in just a second. And it's like 2 minutes till 11 o'clock, but I'm going to finish the message this morning. So just sit comfortably. I've got probably 10 more minutes. He says this, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions..." If after they have escaped the pollutions. Don't get caught up on the semantics, but listen to the actual words. Okay, listen to me. He's talking about the knowledge of the Lord. It says, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled to them and overcome, the later is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to have not have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire or wallowing in the mud. Why? Because a dog returns to the vomit and a sow returns to the mud. Why? It's that question our children always ask. Why, Dad? Well, because that's how Jesus meant for it to be. But why, Dad? And we have to continue to answer these questions. So why? Why does a dog return to his vomit and a sow return to the mud? Listen to me, friends, because it's in their nature. And when it's in your nature, then there's not any life change that has taken place. Do you understand that? There has to be life change take place. When you walk the aisle or when you're sitting in this pew and you decide today that you're going to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then what happens is from that point on, there's something inside you that God has moved to respond to Him. And so you get up and you walk the aisle. But now the real test is, do you really accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And so as we look at the Word of God this morning, Peter is talking about a knowledge, but the word for receiving Christ is pistuo, and he's talking about receiving Him in, not having a knowledge of. You got it? That's not what this word is. This word right here means that they literally just had a working knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. They'd heard His name, they'd read the stories, but they have not pistuoed Him. They have not received Him in. That's the test to someone being a child of God or someone being a sick dog or a dirty hog. That's the test. Have you received Him in? Literally, you've seen me and heard me use the illustration. If I had a bottle of water up here, I do have a glass of water. I think I'll get it. Just because I need to make this illustration with you. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's literally like drinking Him in. Now this water has become a part of me. It has. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He becomes a part of you. That's the difference between someone having a head knowledge and someone having a heart knowledge. I believe our churches are full of people that have a head knowledge. And that's sad, because there are people that are dying and going to hell as a result. So the question is this: can a Christian lose their salvation? Look at me. Can a true Christ follower lose their salvation? No. Can a true Christ follower fall into sin? Yes. But can a true Christ follower lose their salvation? No. And so this passage that we're looking at this morning, it's referring to people who've never had salvation. They had a semblance of salvation. They had a head knowledge. But Peter wrote in verse 20 that's all it was. They had known the way of salvation, but they had never pistuo. They had never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so when you read this, you've got to understand, we've already seen in 2 Peter 2, verse 1, the last part, he says that they never received the Lord. They denied Him. Talking about these teachers, and the exact same thing is true for these who had that head knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's all it was that head knowledge. You can know where my office is here in the church, right? And when you come up to me, you can say, "Preacher, I want to come talk to you Monday. Where's your office?" And I can tell you, if you go through these doors under the pavilion right here and you follow the hall all the way down, you go north all the way down this hall, and then you turn right at the end of the hall, and then you'll walk up those stairs and go through those doors. That's the main office, and then my office is all the way to the back on the left. I can tell you how to get there, but it's up to you whether you take my advice or not. And the same thing is true about people going to heaven. We can tell someone all day long about how to get to heaven, and it's up to them whether they want to follow the advice or not. Just as Jeff and Tyler shared this morning, talking about having a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ, and then or hearing about Jesus all of your life, but never receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. And then we look at the Scripture right here this morning, and you have to understand through the Scripture that if you've heard about Jesus all of your life and you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior, the end for you is going to be worse than the beginning. Why? Because you've heard about Jesus and you've refused to make Him your Lord and Savior. And then for these people who are in China, where it's literally against the law for them to hear the name of Jesus proclaimed, for them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed, it's going to be more tolerant for them in that day than it is for those who've heard Jesus all their lives. John Piper said it this way, talking about these sick dogs and dirty hogs. He said, "Some people make a start in the Christian life, and by all outright appearance, or by all outward appearance, have escaped from the defilements of the world. Then the cares and riches and pleasures of life, as Jesus says, choke the young plant and it withers and bears no fruit and dies." It's about that semblance of salvation. Friends, you can't have a semblance of salvation. You've got to have the real thing. And that's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, how many of you know for sure that you're saved? And you ask that question, "Well, preacher, how can I know for certain? Can I know for certain?" And the answer is yes. When you wake up every morning, if you desire a relationship with Jesus, if you desire to be in contact with Him, if you desire to trust Jesus with all of your problems and all of your issues, I'm telling you, listen to me, then you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you wake up in the morning and Jesus is the furthest thing from your mind, even though you have a head knowledge of Him, well, guess what? Pretty good chance you're not saved. And so it's about making those steps to become, to get in a relationship with Jesus. 1 John 2 verse 19 says this: "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifested, that it might be made known that none of them were of us." That's it. That's it right there. They come into the church. They profess Jesus with their mouth, but it never moves that 18 inches to their heart. And as a result of that, then they're easily swayed. As we look into the Word of God this morning, they're easily swayed. And then they're entangled again into the trap and the deceptions of the wickedness of this world. And so you've got to make sure that that isn't a description of you. And so those who learn about Jesus and reject the gospel are in worse shape than those who've never heard about it. And so Matthew chapter 11 verses 21 and 22 say this: "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. They would have understood the error of their way. But I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." And so today, as we close our service, I'm going to ask you, are you a sick dog and a dirty hog? Are you someone whose nature has never changed? Are you that person who professed Jesus with their mouth but never received Him in your heart? Have you turned back to the ways of the world? Have you gone back to the muddy, miry, murky clay? Or are you in a right, real, relevant relationship with Jesus Christ? You're the only one that can answer that. And so when you leave here today, maybe you're here and you've never trusted Him. And when you leave here today, your greatest desire is to know that you're in that right relationship with Jesus. Then life change has to take place in your heart. Then something inside you has to happen. You can't just say it right here and say, you know, I've got a knowledge of Jesus. But you've got to live it every single day. So my question for you is, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Pistuo. Has He become a part of your body? Has He become a part of your life? Have you drank Him in? You're not getting that back from me. It's become a part of me. And so, has Jesus Christ become a part of you? Listen, friends, if He hasn't, then may today be the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then may today be the day of salvation. Or are you going to be like the rest of the world? Are you going to be someone who has that head knowledge and you profess to be Jesus with your mouth, but you don't believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead so that you might be saved? So are you a sick dog and a dirty hog? Or today, are you a child of God? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today we come before Your throne of grace. Lord, we humble ourselves in Your presence. And as Your word goes forth, we just proclaim Your matchless grace and mercy to the world. Father, we can't equal it. We can't match it. We can't. It's all about You. It's all about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that this morning, in the name of Jesus, if there are any here who do not have that real relationship with You, Father, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that today would be the day of salvation. Father, that You would begin to move in their hearts right now. Father, that You would move upon them, that Your Spirit would be so powerful, Lord, that they would not deny Jesus as their Savior. Father, that they'll not turn back to the ways of the world, but that they'll turn their eyes and they'll fix them straight on You, and that they would receive You as their Lord and Savior. Father, but the thing about a sick dog and a dirty hog is they always return to the filth. They always return to the things that would separate them from cleanliness. Father, I pray today that not be said of us. Lord, that we not return back to the world where you have cleansed us from, but that we return to you, that we refocus our attention on you, that you have captured us in such a way, Father, that there's no separating us from the love that you have for us. Father, that today, if there's even one lost soul, that they would proclaim the name of Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, that they would receive you. That they would receive you, Lord, today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand this morning. You stand. What is God calling you to do today? What decision is God leading you to make today? Is he calling you out?